turn with me to the book of Acts, if you would, please. The book of Acts. I don't know why it's hard for me to say Acts. I feel like I'm saying A-X-E. But anyway, Peter dropped the axe when he preached in chapter number 2, didn't he? Amen. But anyway, I want to give you a thought tonight, and try not to be before you very long. It's just a thought that jumped out at me, and I believe it's what the Lord has on the menu for tonight. And in verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. How many believes that we're left here to continue those things that Jesus taught and those things that Jesus did? And the Bible said he did that until the day was taken up. And I think that's what we ought to do. I think about that, Brother John. I think about us working. I know I've told the churches before. Brother John looked over at me and said, "Preacher, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "Then what are we doing all this work for?" I never have forgotten that. Amen. And at that time, Brother James Jones was with us in revival, and I told Brother Jones what Brother John said, and he said, "You tell Brother John that Jesus said to occupy till I come." Amen. So that's what Jesus did until the day was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. I don't know exactly where this verse is. Let me just get over here in, I believe it's in chapter number 2. I should have marked the verse, but I'll find it in just a minute. I know it's right here. I'm looking for, I'll find it. I think I needed to turn the page. I did. Okay. Let's look at verse 37. Start right there. The Bible said, "Now when they heard this," I'm in chapter 2 now. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying," I want you to look at this phrase, "save yourselves from this untoward generation." I don't know why, but in all these years, that phrase has never jumped out at me. But Peter's preaching to them there on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Pray with me just a moment, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll just bless it as it goes forth. Lord, I know that we're limited on time tonight, but that's okay. I pray, Lord, you just speak to our hearts in these next few moments. Pray, God, you give us a good day on Sunday. Lord, already we've heard that some of the folks that we've invited are going to come. I pray, Lord, that we would spend our time wisely even between now and Sunday and continue to invite others. And God, I pray especially that the Spirit of God would be invited into our midst, and God, that you'd do a work. Lord, I pray you'd give Brother Don exactly what we need. I pray, Lord, that folks would get saved. Lord, that this children of God would be stirred in these days. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't plan on doing this, but turn over to Jude real quick. I believe this is going to go kind of along, and I didn't really think about that till just now, Brother John, but the Sunday school lesson you brought a little while back talking about our responsibility. That, a lot of people want to put it all on the Lord, but we do have a responsibility in our generation. And in verse number 20 of the book of Jude, "But ye, beloved, building up," what's that next word? Yourselves. on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep, what's that next word? So do we have a responsibility? Do we? Now look what the Word of God said over there. Save, what's it say? Yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, we don't want to sound blasphemous, and it would be sounding that way if we thought we could do anything apart from God. We can't do anything apart from God. But I do believe the Bible is teaching us that we have a responsibility in this generation. If we're not going to go the way of this generation, the Bible calls it an untoward generation. Now I want to ask you this. How many of you could tell me what that word means, untoward? You can tell me, Sister Tina? That's good. What do you got for a definition on it, sis? Crooked. Where'd you get that from, the margin in your Bible? Amen. Well, actually, that's right. That's one of the definitions. It comes from a Greek word, scolios. Now, how many's ever heard of scoliosis of the spine? And that's what that's talking about, a crooked spine when you talk about that. The definition that I got from Strong's also included the word warped, winding. Figuratively, it means perverse or crooked. Now, I don't want to ask you a question. If Peter's preaching this, how much more crooked, how much more perverse, how much more warped is the generation that we live in today? Think about that. And God said here, save yourselves. Now, I turned on the news about 5 o'clock. And right now, when I left the house, 6 police officers have been shot in Philadelphia today. I believe, listen to me, the Bible teaches that lawlessness is one of the things that we're going to be facing, amen? I've seen in the news recently where they're firing bullets at random at the offices of the immigration Customs Enforcement. How many seeing that? Amen. Crooked. Warped. They think they're the enemy. Amen. I want you to know tonight, the law is the law. And I believe with all of my heart that there's some things that you and I in the midst, I wish I could find that real quick. Look that phrase up, Brother Steve. I think it's in Peter, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation. Is it in Peter? Look it up there for me real quick. We'll turn there and look at that in just a minute. And then I'm going to give you 5 things, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 things. In 15 minutes. Then Sister Danita's going to stand and sing, "It Took a Miracle." Amen. Where's it at, Brother Steve? It's not in there? Well, I may not have gave it to you exactly right. Somebody else find it? In the midst, where is it? Are y'all going to make me find it myself? Oh, okay. Who said that? I got one ear in. Oh, you. I can see. I only have one ear in. Okay. Philippians, is that chapter what? Chapter 2? Chapter 2. Okay. Read it, Brother Ralph, if you're already there. Oh, he's a good Baptist. He can tell you where to go, but he ain't there. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at it here. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at that theme. Just those few verses we've looked at. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I don't apologize. I'm trying to follow the Lord tonight, and all that other stuff wasn't in the mix, amen? But it all goes hand in hand with what God wants to say to us tonight. Here we are, right in the middle of it all. What could we dwell on that would help us to save ourselves from this untoward generation? There's several things. Look at Acts chapter number 1, please, and verse number 8. The first thing I believe we ought to dwell on is a promise. The Bible said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." How many understand that when Jesus made this promise, there was something that went with it, and that was the word wait. They had to go to Jerusalem, and they had to wait until they'd be endued with power from on high. I believe we can have revival even in our generation. But I'll tell you something right now, I believe it's lacking, and that's that willingness just to get before God and wait. Just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and strengthen your heart in Him. Just wait on the Lord. So I look at the word promise. We need to not only this promise, but look at the promises of God in the Scripture. And beloved, let me just say this. I don't care how crooked it gets. The promises of God are still straight up and down. Amen. And we can stay with the book and let God keep us in this untoward generation that we live. Secondly, the word prayer. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible said these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. I want to give you something tonight. Listen, they prayed, but I want you to look at two words, one accord. They prayed in one accord. Coulter, you were there when Brother Joe described when the Holy Ghost showed up there in his church. And he told us that night, Brother Steve, here's how it started. They went to church till after 10:30 on a Saturday night. On a Sunday night. He said their church was never the same. It was like he was beating his head against the wall for the first 9 or 10 years. He preached one night. I don't even think he preached, did he, Brother Colt? But something happened, and a young lady, a teenager, got up and went to another teenager. And Brother Joe said these two words, "I'm sorry." Said those two words, "I'm sorry." He said, honestly, he said, God filled the room. He said, heaven came down. And he said, their church is still talking about that night. He said, they call it that night that God came by. I'm telling you, beloved, God does want us to pray, but he wants us to do more than pray. He wants us to pray in one accord. Amen. I believe we can have real, genuine revival. But listen, it leads me right into the next thing. There's a promise. There's prayer that will help us in this untoward generation. And I just looked at the word Pentecost. And let me say this. I'm not so foolish as to say that there'll be another Pentecost. There was only one. Amen? 3,000 got saved that day. But I want to tell you this. I believe there can be another stirring. Look what the Bible said. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with... Here, I didn't even understand that was there. Didn't know it. They were with one accord in one place. Right there they are again. And the Word of God says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. How many'd like to see it one more time? Glory to God. God just filled the house. You've heard it said, beloved, it's so thick you could cut it with a knife. Amen. I'd like to see the power of God and the Spirit of God. But it comes through a promise. It comes through prayer. And it comes through a moving of the Spirit of God. We can't make Him move. But I tell you what we can do. We can put ourselves in a good position for Him to move. Amen. And that's what we need to do. But let me give you this. And we're talking about an untoward generation. How in the world are we going to save ourselves from this generation? This generation that doesn't believe a baby in the womb is a baby. It's still a baby, amen. This generation doesn't believe there's anything wrong with gambling, doesn't believe there's anything wrong with liquor, doesn't believe there's anything wrong with drugs, doesn't believe there's anything wrong with taking another man's wife or another man's life, amen. I'm telling you, we're in a mess as far as a nation, but right in the middle of it all, God can help us and bless us. We can save ourselves. I'm going to tell you this. I believe if we're interested in saving ourselves from this untoward generation, that's the way we'll be saving somebody else. I've got grandchildren that are watching me, that are listening to me, children that are watching me and listening to me. The next thing I saw in this early church here was preaching. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14. The word of God said here, but Peter standing up with the 11 gave a little talk. Is that what it said? I thought it said he lifted up his voice. What's wrong with that? He's preaching, beloved, the word of God. Amen. The Bible said over there in the book of Isaiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell the house of Israel their sin and my people their transgression. I believe that, listen, if there was ever a generation where we need to get back to the preaching of the Word of God, it's the generation that we live in. Brother Ralph, I don't know how many people I've told in these 6 years. I've told people everywhere. I believe this church would rather you preach for 2 hours than sing for 2 hours. Any day, if you just had a preacher that could do it. Amen. I used to tell people I preached till God got done. I started going to prison and I preached till the state said I was done. Amen. Or the feds said I was done. About 15 years ago, I had that bad wreck. Now I just preach till my body says I'm done. Amen. Preaching's hard on you. I told Brother Mike Monday morning, we were at the hospital there at 5:30. I said, Brother Mike, I said, why don't y'all start scheduling these surgeries on Tuesday? I'm telling you, a preacher ain't worth a flip on Monday morning at 5:30. Amen. You had to get up at 4 o'clock to be there at 5:30. You say, why? Because things don't work right that early in the morning. Amen. Amen. Preaching. He stood up and he preached the word of God. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to go into all this message. I don't have time to. But it was pointed preaching. Hallelujah. He met them right where they was at. There ain't no use to put that stuff out there that goes all over everybody's head, goes on over in the field somewhere. The preaching of the Word of God will meet us right where we're at. I like what one preacher said. Said, God said, feed my sheep. Didn't say, well, you were on that Sunday morning, Brother Steve. Said, didn't say anything about feeding giraffes. He said, last time I checked, sheep eat low to the ground. He said, put the cookies down on the bottom shelf where everybody can get one. Amen. I like that. Amen. Peter put it right down there where they could get it. Watch this now. We can save ourselves, but there needs to be that promise we keep our eyes on, that prayer life that we keep opened up, that channel with God, that Pentecost where God moves and breathes, where we find ourselves in one accord, the preaching of the Word of God. Let me give you this. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Listen, if you want to pray for something Sunday, this will work any Sunday. This will work any revival meeting night. Let me ask you a question. How many remembers when God, the Holy Ghost, pricked your heart? Let me say this to you tonight. I hope you'll understand what I'm about to say. It's not only sinners that need their heart pricked. The saints of God, how many knows what it means to get sideways with God or get sideways with a brother or get sideways with a sister? I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, 37, they heard the preaching. What happened? They were pricked in their heart. That reminds me of an old preacher. A woman said to him, said, preacher, said, you got all over my toes this morning. He said, that just proves one thing, honey. She said, what's that? He said, it proves I'm a bad aim. He said, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart.
I want to say this tonight. I don't believe a preacher ought to personally aim anything at anybody. But I'll tell you what the Word of God will do. If it's preached in the power and the Spirit of God, it'll hit us in the heart. My pastor told me this years ago. I've never researched it out, but he said the difference between preaching and teaching, he said teaching builds a man's intellect. He said preaching lays a demand at the heart's door. I tell you what, I'd have to agree with that right here in this chapter. Beloved, listen, Peter stood up and preached the Word of God, and it laid a demand at the heart's door. They had to go one way or the other, amen. It pricked them in their heart. What'd they do? They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? I used to tell the men in prison, when they get out, you know, there were men that loved God, were really grown in the Lord. But I'd say, men, when you get out, don't go home talking. They'd look at me like, you know, I taught a whole lesson one time on how to be an effective witness. And then when I got done teaching the lesson, I told them that. I said, just go home, keep your mouth shut. And they just look at you like, you just told us, you just taught us how to tell people about Jesus. Now you tell us to go home and keep our mouth shut. I said, yeah, because ain't nobody listening to you. All you are is an ex-con to the society where you're going back to. But I said, if you'll go home walking, I said, don't go home talking. Just go home walking. I said, let your loved ones see you getting things together on Saturday night about 8:30 or 9 o'clock and getting into bed early. Not out there in the honky-tonks in the hell holes where you used to be. And I said, after a while, they're going to say, why are you going to bed so early? You tell them, because down there at the house of God, they're having Sunday school at 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, about 3 or 4 weeks of that, and I said, some of your loved ones, some of your buddies is going to say something like this, what happened to you? And I said, when they do, open your mouth and tell them. But until then, they're not listening. Beloved, I'm telling you what happened. God pricked them in their heart, and they looked at Peter and said, men and brethren, what are we going to do? Amen. Peter told them to repent. That's still a good word for today. We'll never save ourselves from this untoward generation without repentance. I'm not talking about a sinner repenting. I'm talking about judgment must first begin at the house of God. We need to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Watch this now. I see a promise in prayer and Pentecost and preaching, the pricking of the heart. Look at verse chapter 2 and verse 41. I'm just giving you a few little things here that I believe would really help us to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You remember the Jews required a sign. The book of Acts is a book of transition. It transitions from the Jew to the Gentile in chapter number 10. And then the signs go away. Have you heard what I just said? God requires faith in this generation. He said listen, we're not supposed to be seeking a sign. We're supposed to be seeking the Savior. Watch this now. The Bible said, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions. You say, preacher, why'd they do that? How many knows why they did it? Beloved, they believed that they were living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. They believed he was coming back just any day. And so the things of this world didn't matter to them. I'm not saying that we have to do this today, but I use this word. They had the right priorities. I do not believe, listen to me carefully, that revival will ever come when any kind of a sports event means more to us than the house of God. I don't believe revival will ever come if anything in this world is between us and our Savior. I do not believe revival will come. But beloved, they knew what it was to have the right priorities. They sold their possessions, parted them to all men, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's a promise. There's prayer. There's a stirring. There's preaching. There's pricking. And there's the right priority, the prioritizing in that early church. Then look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and I'm done. Nobody gets to sing "It Took a Miracle" because it's 3 minutes after 8. I knew better than you did too. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. What's those first two words? How many believes we're a little bit behind right there? I said, how many believes we're a little bit behind right there? I need to get to a spot where I can hear what's going on in this untoward generation. Say, Lord, I thank you that that wasn't me. Say amen. It is the grace of the living God tonight that I'm not already in hell. Sometimes I believe when we examine, Brother Steve, the crookedness and the perversion that's going on in the world, I think sometimes if we're not careful, instead of praise, there'll be pride. God resisteth the proud. I believe we ought to praise Him. I think we ought to praise Him for Calvary. I think we ought to praise Him that we have a Bible that's trustworthy. I think we ought to praise Him that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that lift us up in prayer. I think we ought to praise Him that we've got something to eat. I took a load of stuff out of the barn. I had to clean my barn out and do some rearranging. Took it to the dump today, or the landfill, whatever you want to call it. I guess landfill would be politically correct, but it's a dump. Over at the dump, there's buzzards everywhere. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you can go overseas. And it wouldn't be buzzards at the dump. It'd be kids trying to find them something to eat colder. Somebody's scraps. They don't care if they have to scrape maggots off of it. They just want something to eat. I'm telling you tonight, God's been good to us. And we ought to praise Him. Our praise shouldn't dwindle as we near the coming of the Lord. It ought to explode inside of us. The Bible said praising God, I can't see it, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. How they wants God to add to the church. Amen. He don't owe it to us, but we need Him to do that, don't we? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Just a little thought. Save yourself. Yourselves from this untoward generation. How many believes those 3,000 that trusted Christ that day and got baptized? How many believes that they looked at the world differently? One old boy said, I got saved. And he said, I got up the next morning, the grass was greener. And the sky was bluer. And he said, the birds sang prettier than they've ever sang before. You know what happened? the creation got in tune with his creator. And beloved, when that happens, everything's sweeter. Amen. Thank you for coming.